rather embarrassing when you were trying out and you forgot to put the mic on. We look forward to getting the mail each day. And one of the bulletins we receive is from Hilldale in Clarksville, Tennessee. And as I read it, I liked the one point they had. The blessings of spring. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I like spring. There are many blessings that each new spring brings. You can see it bloom about and hear the song it sings. With winter's bleakness over and brighter days ahead comes promises of new life. Springtime loves to spread. As God unfolds the flowers and their buds begin to show, He gives to us the assurance grace in our hearts will glow. He sends us the robin's song with the promise to provide a shelter under His mighty wing wherein this love we can abide. He melts the snowy covers and sends the refreshing rain, sprinkling us with His mercies to heal winter's ache and pain. And I really like the last part of it. God's given to all His Son to shed upon us a new light, and the real blessing of spring is keeping Jesus in our sight. And I thank you for the opportunity to be with you this afternoon, and I'll try to keep my eye on the clock in the foyer, and that'll be our authority. I hope you're looking forward to next weekend. I really am. I've never met him or heard him, but I'm looking forward to it. I can be a better person. I can have a better faith. We can have a better family, a better community, and a better church. I like the closing emphasis will be on the church. So, a better church in Santa. So, hope you're looking forward to it. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. I even heard N.B. Harden. I've heard Gus Nichols, Guy Woods, Marshall Keeble and his boys, and then some of the more younger ones in our brotherhood. So next weekend can be terrific. Hope you'll take advantage as much as you can of that week. I'll confess, Vance, I did like the songs. I'll raise my hand. It's still sometimes less of self and more of Jesus. Now, hopefully, the day will come when I can say it's none of Harry and all of Jesus. But I'm going to ask for a show of hands. I'm still working on it. Last month on the 27th, I was 81. You don't have to raise your hand or say amen. That's old, isn't it? Last Sunday, my wife was 78. I want to share with you this afternoon two passages. First, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. This is what my Savior said. This is what my Lord said. And according to the New Testament, he's the appointed judge. So this is what my judge said. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my word, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." What does Jesus think of us? What does he think of me? I was impressed with these words in verse 23. Deny. Take up. Follow. Deny myself. Take up my cross. That was not just a nice piece of jewelry that you might wear. What did it mean to be on a cross when Jesus lived on this earth? And then follow. Follow me. So, I'm still looking for new ways to emphasize some of the old truths. It should be evident that one of my favorite chapters is Romans 12. Last year in November, in the Gospel Minutes, David Thurman had what I thought was outstanding. So that's what I want to share with you this afternoon. So let's turn to Romans 12. How does Romans 12 reflect what Jesus said in Luke 9? Deny, take up, follow. I have the chance to die daily. I deny myself, take up the cross, follow Jesus, but I have to die. So, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have the chance this week to die daily. Wouldn't that be the thought? If I'm a living sacrifice, I'm not like the world, but I'm like God in His way. I'm dying to self, taking up my cross, and following Jesus. And then I was impressed, verses 3 through 8, in light of our study recently on Wednesday night, I have the chance to serve the body. And we learned in Ephesians, Paul is using body interchangeably with church. So think about it. I have the opportunity to serve. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And then it caught my eye. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What has God dealt to me? What has God given to you? Whereas we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. What's my function? What's yours? So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, he's going to enumerate some of the gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. Vance has the gift he can lead singing. Patrick has that gift. I know when we have good singing, but I can't teach good singing. If I got up and led singing and the pitch was right, you'd say, oh, I have another song leader at Sanford. If I got the pitch wrong, you might tell Andrea, don't include Harry to lead singing anymore. Now, let me read. What's your gift? What's mine? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then he will enumerate some. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I was in one congregation and we were emphasizing the church is the body. And so one of the young men said, well, Harry, you're the tongue. They saw me a lot in the pulpit speaking. That was rather a challenge. Think, hey, am I the tongue? What does that mean? So, what's your gift? What's mine? So his thought was, I have the gift of teaching or the gift of preaching. Think of it. In Romans 12. I have the chance, the opportunity to serve the body, the church. Verses 9 through 13, I have the chance or the opportunity to treat others right. Let's see if that's what Paul is outlining. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So there's love, verse 9. There's affection, verse 10. There's commitment or diligence, verse 11. There's hope, tribulation, prayer, verse 12. And you can couple to that rejoicing, patient, steadfast. And then hospitality, verse 13. So the chance, the opportunity to treat others right. I like to be treated this way. I'm sure you do too. Think of it. Is that part of denying self? Taking up the cross and following Jesus. And the part of the chapter that really got me was verses 14 through 16. I have the chance or opportunity to respond to critics. And of course, I'm inferring to respond or react in the right way. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Didn't Jesus have his critics? Did Paul have his critics? I don't like to admit it, but did Harry have his critics? Bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Now my human nature would be, you curse me, I'll curse you. You slap one cheek, might turn the other, and then I'll knock you down. Well, Jesus just said, turn both cheeks. Is that really what he wanted? So, verse 14 really caused me to do a lot of thinking. Verse 15, I grew up in Detroit. Someone got a new car, we rejoice. Now my human nature might be, hey, I need the new car, not them. But that was something to rejoice over. Glad you could purchase a new car. Maybe your first. And I can still remember when my dad passed away. All I remember about the funeral is the building was full. Then when my mom passed away, we went to the gravesite. She'd outlived everyone. There was just one lady that could have come, and she couldn't do it because of a prior commitment for her son. So, guess who had the remark? One of my grandsons was the song leader. And another had a prayer. And it so happened that one of the men from the funeral home was an elder in the Lord's church. And so he had a prayer. But I still remember that. It was just family. At the cemetery. I can still hear the late Batzel Barrett Baxter saying, boys, treat everyone right. You might think, well, right now I'm over them, but the day could come they're over you. And if you didn't treat them right, what might they remember? And so his thought was, practically speaking, it's in your best interest to treat everyone right. So that part of our chapter really caught my attention. And then I have the chance or the opportunity to overcome, verses 17 through the close, verse 21. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And this really ties in what Brian emphasized last week. I thought he did a good job. Peace. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes that's easier said than done. And today I like the emphasis on being good or righteous. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Wonder how many times we steal from the Lord. So these are the words of the Lord through Moses in the song that he taught to Israel, the generation to enter the promised land. So I want to read that song in Deuteronomy. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The chance or opportunity to overcome. I think, have we developed the chapter right? A chance to die? A chance to serve? A chance to treat the right way? A chance to respond to your critics in the right way, and a chance to overcome. Now, if we're not careful, we might say, well, so what? Well, if I want to deny myself, take up the cross, and follow Jesus, what would he want? That I die? That I serve? I treat right? That I react or respond right? That I overcome? Now, our question this afternoon is, what about now? How do you need to respond this afternoon? We're not going to take time. But I'm going to assume you're very familiar with Romans chapter 6. First part of the chapter. Read it again. Is Paul saying you need to die to sin? You need to be alive to God. Don't we usually emphasize you need to be baptized based on Romans 6? Personally, I would say the why of baptism is given in Romans 6. what does it mean to obey the gospel? What's the good news of the gospel? The death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Now, we have the opportunity to draw a parallel to that. We're going to die. We're going to be buried. We're going to be raised. What about this afternoon? Maybe that's the application of the lesson. You need to obey the gospel. Maybe the application is you need to ask for prayer this afternoon. I've already said, I'm still working on it. It's less of Harry and more of Jesus. But my goal is none of Harry and all of Jesus. I like the emphasis this morning, Patrick's class, suffering. We don't like to think about it, do we? The word righteous. In Romans 6, you'll find we're either going to be an instrument of unrighteousness or an instrument of righteousness. So, what does Jesus want? If I deny myself, take up the cross, and follow him. What do you need to do this afternoon? Obey the gospel. Come asking for prayer. Change your thinking about what's good and right. God says it's right. It's right. God says it's wrong. It's wrong. Whether I agree or not, or understand or not. I can't think of a better decision on the last Sunday of March. Next Sunday will be April. Part of our meeting will be on April Fool's Day. But I don't think the service will fool us. The singing, the praying, and the study will make us better. Our faith strong. Vance is going to have a hymn of encouragement. Now, if you listen carefully to the reading, did Jesus say, "You're ashamed of me? I'll be ashamed of you"? Now, if you're not ashamed of Jesus, what would it mean this afternoon? Would you like to come?